Well, good morning. In the Bible study this morning, we looked at the promises of the coming new covenant and how God would put a new heart in his people. And for the message today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 103. This is a Psalm of David, and you see throughout this Psalm this how he has a heart that loves God, that recognizes the great things God has done for him, and wants to bless God out of thankfulness to him. So we'll start by reading through the psalm, and then we'll go through it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. So it seems the theme throughout this passage is that he reminds us to bless the Lord, and then reminds us of all the reasons why, of all the things God has done, and of God's unchanging character. Starts out by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David knew and understood the importance of remembering the works of the Lord. Not remembering as being able to bring to mind, but remembering as in having in mind. Keeping them in mind, not just being able to recall. It means dwelling on them rather than merely having knowledge of God's works. On the other hand, forgetting what God has done is a precursor to rejecting and abandoning him entirely. You see this throughout the Old Testament frequently. When it talks about Israel's rebellion, it's prefaced by mentioning that they forgot about God and his works. In Deuteronomy 32, this was the song of Moses that God gave to teach to them, that they would remember throughout all their generations, a prophecy of what was going to happen and a witness against them. He says in verse 18, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. We have Psalms 78 and 106 that sort of go through the chronology of Israel and all the ways that God led them. and both make mention of Israel forgetting God's works. Psalm 78:11, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. And Psalm 106:12, then they believed his words, they sang his praise, but they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. This is something that's very easy to slip into if we don't constantly remind ourselves of what God has done. So it's no wonder that David exhorts himself and exhorts us to forget not all his benefits. He then makes mention of the numerous things God has done for him and for us. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. The forgiving of our sin is the first and the foremost of all that God has done for us.
Amen.
Quite likely, David felt this particularly poignantly. He says in Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. God and God alone is the forgiver of our sins. There's none other we could go to, no other source from which we could have our sins taken away. We're solely dependent on him to remove our sin and to stand as a mediator for us. Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. And then in verse 4, he mentions the deliverance God had granted him and his mercy and kindness towards him. He says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. In terms of deliverance from earthly peril, David had repeatedly seen God protect him from the hand of Saul, from the hand of the Philistines, and everyone else who had sought to destroy him. God had given David a promise that he was going to be king, and then as David waited for the promise to be fulfilled, he saw Saul repeatedly try to kill him, and he would have were it not for God on his side. I think particularly of this one time when David and his men were starting to be surrounded, and Saul gets the word, oh, the Philistines have made a raid. Mm-hmm. So God even uses his enemies who come against Israel to deliver David. In Psalm 56:11, this is after David was taken by the Philistines in Gath. Presumably this was in the time when he fled there and feigned madness. He says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And then David also speaks of the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord. He had seen God's mercy and blessings unto him, and he knew that he was not deserving of them. He had also seen God's mercy taken away from Saul, his predecessor, because the kindness of God is not shown to everyone except in one way, in that he made a way of salvation so that we could be reconciled to him. Nearly everything else comes from that and is only available through Christ. The way God shows his love to lost sinners is through this one way, creating the way so that they can be reconciled. And that's where everything else is available. So it's not a lack of availability to sinners that they don't receive all of God's goodness and kindness, but he has made a way. And if they avail themselves of it, they can receive all of that goodness. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I don't think he's talking about any earthly food here, because there isn't any earthly food that will make you any younger. Rather, I think he's speaking of being refreshed and satisfied by the blessings and joy that God gives. Mm-hmm. In Psalm 63:5, which is also a Psalm of David, he says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Verse 6, he says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." So this, again, is something that David had seen directly from experience, as he had seen God deliver him from the hand of all his enemies, even when they were way more powerful than he was. "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." I notice these things that he mentioned here are the same ones that when Moses asked God to show him his glory, that he declared before him. His mercy, his grace, his slowness to anger, because they are among the most important aspects of his character. And they're especially important for us, because if it were not for his mercy and long suffering, we would have been destroyed in a moment already. Mm-hmm. Exodus 34:6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." In fact, God is so merciful and willing to forgive, so slow to anger, that one prophet found this to be quite annoying. Jonah 4:2 says, "I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil." I can't think of a whole ton of instances of this, but it also comes to mind the sons of Zebedee who wanted to call down thunder, and Jesus wasn't going to have any of that. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there are others. Sometimes man thinks of God as unmerciful, but when it actually comes to showing mercy and forgiveness, God shows himself and not man to be the merciful one.
Amen.
Verse 9, "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Of all the things that we would do well to keep at the forefront of our minds is what he has done to utterly remove our sin, mm-hmm. to ransom us from the kingdom of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of his Son, to reconcile us so that we would no longer be his enemies, but heirs of his promises. Micah 7:18, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." Mm-hmm. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. He will subdue our iniquities. ESV says, trod underfoot. They've been defeated. They can no longer stand against us or oppose us. Amen. There's nothing for the accuser of the brethren to point to.
Amen.
"Like as a father pitieth his children," this is verse 13, "so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." Man is here for a day, and shortly is gone. We are weak and more frail than we usually realize, and dependent on God for everything. We can't depend on man because man has no ability to sustain himself. Only God, who does not change, can be relied on. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So the mercy of God, on the other hand, can be relied upon, because it is constant. It never goes away. It never changes. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Continuing in verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So this psalm ends by commanding all the angels of God, all his servants, all his creation to bless the Lord. David recounted the goodness of the Lord and his unchanging attributes. He remembers his faithfulness to Israel and his faithfulness to him specifically. It's important for us, if we want our hearts to be set aright, our focus to be straight, to stay on the path, to remind ourselves of the goodness of God and all that he has done for us, both in granting us salvation and the ways he's led us individually. Because forgetting his great mercy toward us is one of the quickest ways to leave the way, as has happened to many before. Mm-hmm. So there's a final passage, Psalm 105, verse 5. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Mm-hmm. Your comments or corrections?
Just this meditation and remembrance of what the Lord has done can lift you up from the miry clay, from the trial that you're going through, because you see that the things that the Lord has done are eternal. They're long-lasting, but the trials that you're going through, they're just temporary. So the more we concentrate and think upon his goodness, as opposed to the trials of this life, we will overcome, because our faith is being strengthened through that.
Really gives an eternal perspective to look at all that God has done, and helps us not be despondent. You know, a single trial can look like the end of the world, but if you really see it in perspective, mm-hmm. in light of eternity, it's a small thing.
We know that, you know, David went through a lot of hardships. I mean, I don't want to lighten what the hardships that people go through. But when you think upon the Lord, he will lift you up as wings of eagles. He will strengthen you. You have to leap over a wall. So we see that his strength will overcome any of the persecutions of this world.
Mm-hmm. Amen. In 2 Peter 1:8-9, it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his mm-hmm. own sins. So this is a real danger, warning for us who can't forget. Remember, forget not all of his benefits. And how much more we who are in the new covenant and have seen and understood what Christ has done, we really see a clearer picture of God's mercy.
I think earlier in that passage you read, I think that was 1st or 2nd Peter, he says, "I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder." Well, I thank you for your comments. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Brother Mike, would you close us?